appreciate it. I've been having a good time so far.
Amen.
This is not good.
Uh-oh.
The glare off my head is going to be too bad.
Yeah.
I can see that. How many have never seen me before? What a blessing you're having right now.
Oh, yeah.
How many thought that old man is the youth speaker? Go ahead. That's what. Yeah. Put your hands down. I was talking about that old man, not this one. But I've known Brother Crichton for a lot of years. It's so good to see all of you. And do they know what I call you?
Yeah, here? Some of them.
Come here. I was telling the guys at Crown. Y'all agreed with me, didn't you? That wait a minute. Stand. Let's see the profile.
Okay.
Okay. Look. Buzz Lightyear. Right there.
All me for years.
Yeah. So I didn't know, Brother Aaron. I didn't know for a lot of years your name was Aaron.
That's right.
Because I couldn't remember what it was. I'm terrible with names. Ain't that right, Fred? And so I just called him Buzz.
Yep.
I didn't, and I learned it was Aaron. In fact, I saw you sent an email that it said, Sir, what's your email thing?
Well, it's Hartman. It's the last name.
Hartman. I thought, who is that? Oh, that's Buzz. I got you. And in my phone, it's Buzz. It's not. So I don't know. I call him Buzz all the time. But oh, those lights are hot. No wonder you're sweating like a dog. I ought to. But it's so good to be here. I hope you're glad to be here. I hope you take advantage of this day. And so good to see all the church. Brother Billy, it's so good to see you. And I've thought a lot about you guys in recent days. I knew your dad really well. Fond memories of Brother Bill. And we were so sorry to hear of his going to heaven. And so I want you to know that I love you and your family. Tell your mom I said hello, if you would. And just such a great thing to see you. I ask. Brother, I started saying, Brother Buzz. That don't even sound good, does it? I said, was Mountain View going to be? He said, I think they are. So I was excited that you guys are here. And you look a little different. A little bit. I hadn't been to your church. And by the way, what's the big deal? How come I don't get to come back anymore? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And well, I didn't come. Anyway, I used to sing in their church a lot. I had to travel with a quartet and used to go there, I guess, about every year. And what are you laughing? Anyway, but so glad to be here and so glad that I'm awake.
Yes.
I got up at 4 this morning and caught an airplane at 6. You know, they do run those things at night. I didn't know that. And got here early this morning, flew into Washington, and I got to fly home tonight. So I'm just glad to be here, wherever I am. Have you guys had the experience yet of being somewhere and waking up and having no idea where you are? Have you had that yet? Now, it'll come, brother, and you guys will see it a lot this summer, I'm sure. And what state am I in? And most of you are in confusion, I can tell. But I know where I am. And by the way, I need to get it out. Do we have any Oriole fans here? Come on now. Oriole fans. Only the spiritual ones. Right now, I'd raise my hand and look intelligent. Well, maybe not. They're terrible, but I'm at least loyal, you know. They're no good, but I like them. And I was talking to... Who do you pull? You don't pull for the... Do you really pull for the Yankees?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, I know. I can imagine. I don't understand why you would pull for the Yankees.
Oh,
yeah. But
I always like a winner.
Like a winner. Well, money buys everything, doesn't it? Anyway.
Just
buy another championship, I guess. I hope it's worth it to you. Like I said, it's so good to be here. And I want to get to know you through the day. If you see me around, if I'm awake, speak to me. If I'm asleep, let me alone. And by the way, am I assuming, Brother Aaron, that we eat after this?
Yes, so be on time.
I was going to say, so what time do we need to eat?
Well, as soon as you're done.
As soon as I'm done. Let's dismiss in prayer. At camp, I always make sure I speak before lunch so we never go long. I've had some preachers come in and they don't have any concept of schedule, and we won't go there, but they came once anyway. But... I speak before lunch, and so you can look at me and tell I don't go very long past lunch. And but I did have my big breakfast, my big deluxe breakfast at McDonald's this morning.
All right.
And when you're diabetic, that'll hold you for about 4 days. And so I'm all right. Get your Bibles out, if you will. Isaiah chapter 40. How many have a Bible? Hold it up if it's not too heavy. Oh, that's a good sight.
Amen.
And you know, I found out working with young people, and people ask me, how long have you done it? I said, I have no idea. I've always been young. I now just think young. I'm not young. Let's get it out of the old. I'll be 51 here in a couple of weeks, okay? I'll shut up.
It's better than the alternative. And, well, if you're saved, it's not. But anyway, and I've been, you know, I taught school for 24 years, I guess, and have worked with young people. I was kidding, Brother Aaron. I'm not kidding, it's the truth. Like one guy said, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling the truth. And it'll be my 30th summer working at our camp. And y'all to come. Now, we're about full, so y'all can't come, but think about it for next summer. But we have a big youth conference. Looking forward to that coming up week of June the 15th. So I love young people. I don't like them, but I love them. You have to love them. The Bible says, I got to love you. I don't have to like you. But I think I'm going to like most of you if I can convert you to Orioles fans. That's the only thing. And at least you're not Chicago Cubs fans. So other than that, everything is all right. Isaiah chapter 40. I like the theme, dare to run. I asked Brother Aaron several weeks ago. I said, do you have a theme? Well, not several weeks, about a week ago, last week. In fact, it was yesterday. I asked him, do you have a theme? He said, yeah, dare to run. I said, I like that. And so I'm going to speak to you today. I think I get two shots at you. I'm going to speak to you on the subject of running today. And now you can look at me until I do a lot of it. Yeah, thank you. Hurting my feelings. I really used to run. Here comes the excuses now. You ready? When you get 50, you got all kinds of excuses. I have a foot problem. You're supposed to say, aw. All right. Say that again. I have a foot problem. Okay, but at least it's not a head problem. Anyway, but, I ran. I'm not going on this side of the platform. I have run some. In fact, I have started walking again. I have a goal to walk from the back of the church to the front of the church. I'm kind of like the guy that said, I do one sit-up every day. In the morning, I get up. That's half. Now, when I go to bed, that's the other half. And I'm about that way with walking and running. But I like the theme, and I do understand the importance of it. And I want to read you a verse that talks about running this morning. Is it still morning? Just a little bit longer. And you know the verse. A lot of you could probably quote it with me. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at the last verse, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Can you read the next three words with me? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to speak to you on those three words, they shall run, but in honor of the theme, I'm going to change scripture, don't tell the Lord, and we're going to call it dare to run. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us understand. Now, Father, we love you. Thank you for this good turnout on a first time of a youth conference like this, a full day. Lord, thank you for youth pastors and pastors having the confidence in this church to bring their young people here, and for young people who have given up a day of their life to be here, and for all the work that's gone in and preparation and anticipation of this day. Thank you for this church. Now, Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord does something in our hearts. All of our efforts are for naught, and all of the labor and the work and the sacrifice are of no value unless the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So first, I ask that you would empty me of self. And I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit and that you would forgive me of any sin in my life that would hinder the Lord from using me. And now, Lord, help me to be a blessing. Help this to be a very simple start to our day as we look at just a simple concept. I pray that the Lord would speak to us and show us where we are and where we need to make changes. Today, throughout the day, if there's one here or two or three or five that don't know Christ as Savior, I pray that they would come to know you today. May this be the glad day that they accept you as Lord and Savior. Be with us today throughout all the activities of the afternoon. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We all need a little bit of exercise. You know, when you get older, you take that verse in the Bible that says, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does mean a little bit, and it is profitable. And the older you get, the more you realize you need the exercise. I have diabetes. I take, this is going to sound like somebody we all know, only Brother Christ. I take 4 or 5 shots a day. And so I understand what it's like to have to exercise. When I come down with diabetes, it's been, I guess, 18, 19 years ago, I weighed 260 pounds. And I remember going into the doctor's office, and I was having all these symptoms, all of which you're having right now. I went into the office, and he sat down after running tests, and he went through all this gloom and doom, and you're going to have a heart attack. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and you need to go out and do this and lose that and try this, and I'm thinking my life is over. The days of you know, eating ice cream and cake and for breakfast are gone. And so, you know, it was tough. But I got the idea. You know what? I've got one body. I've got one life. God gave me one to use. And if I'm going to use it, I better get running. I better get busy. So I started walking. I started walking for exercise. Now, I don't know about you. Walking is the most boring thing I've ever done in my life. I hate it. I can't stand it. My wife and I, can you see Miss Jamie walking? My wife and I went walking one day this week, one evening, late, went up to the park, and there's a track there. And I said, come on, baby, let's see if we can do 6 laps in 30 minutes. That'd be a little over 2 miles. I said, let's go. And so here we go. And I've been having to see a cardiologist and the stress tests and all that stuff. So here I'm getting at it. And then I got about a lap, and I got bored. I said, Jamie, this is awful. I said, old people are walking. We're not old. We just act it, look it. I said, when we get over on the track, the straightaway that goes by the highway, because you want people to see you running, we walk on the backside when they can't see us. Let's run this time down the straightaway. So we got over there, and here we go. Man, we got to go in the pace. You know? I said, come on, honey. I tell people, I don't run, I scoot. You can't call what I do run. I just kind of shuffle my feet, you know. I used to run a lot up there at that park until the women started passing me and they were walking. And that's how slow I was running. So, but sure enough, we ran that straightaway. I said, honey, let's run to that bench over there. And we got that. Now let's walk. And I said, all right, let's do it. Now we get around the lap is a third of a mile track. Now we get around there was a little six-year-old softball game going on. That was the funniest thing. I went by there, and a larger girl than the rest hit the ball, and she was running down to first base. And little first baseman, I promise she wasn't this big. And the girl picked the ball up and threw it, and that girl put her glove out and turned her head like that. Ball flew right in her glove. How? You know, I love it. And I have no idea how that ball stayed in there. But we walked around the back, and then we got to the front again. I said, all right, baby, here we go. The people are watching. The car's driving by. Let's go. And we picked it up again, and I said, now come on, get your feet up a little bit, you know, keep your hands down, don't wear yourself out, you don't want to run up here, you know, and all that. So we took off down through there, and we got around, I said, there's the bench again, let's walk. And, you know, I noticed there were three kind of people at the park that day. I guess this must have been Tuesday night. No, I went to church, it was Tuesday night. And there were, and I will talk about these three today. First of all, there were sitters. There were people who were sitting on those benches as we went by them. There were people on the other end of the park who were watching everybody run. They were sitting in them and just watching. And then there were the walkers, like me. I consider myself, in that case, a walker. I'm not a runner anymore. I used to run 3 miles a day, but, you know, the foot problem. Ready? Yeah, it's bad. And plantar fasciitis. If you ever had it, you understand what it is. And so I'm a walker now. And but then there were the runners. I told my wife, we were walking around that track. I said, Miss Jamie, I don't call her Miss Jamie, but I did, it were for your sake. I said, honey, I said, years ago when I was running up here, there was a guy that went to our church named Steve Kirby, and Steve was an athlete. He was a great athlete. And this 3 laps is a mile, a third of a mile lap. I said, Steve would run a lap and a half every time I went 1 lap. He would run 6 to my 3. I mean, he was fast. And again, I got discouraged being around it. But there are, let's name the three types of people. There are those who sit. We'll call them sitters. And then there are the walkers. And then there are the runners. Now, we want to be runners. Now, I'm not talking about literally, if you're not a runner, God bless you. You know, God didn't make all of us for speed. Just a few of us did He make to run for speed. And you can tell I'm not one of those. I tell people all the time, when I run, you don't time me with a watch. You time me with a calendar. That's how slow I am when I run. But sitters, walkers, and runners. Now, the verse said, they shall run. And I want to challenge all of us, old, young, alike, dare to run. Let's work at being a runner. Now, let me give you some characteristics, and I'll give you something at the end just to sum it up. First of all, let's start with the walkers. If you got your Bible, turn back to Psalm 1. Here's a famous, or not start with the sitters, rather. Here's a famous sitter. See if you're familiar with this one. Psalm 1. You probably know where I'm going with this. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor, what's the next word? Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, if you're a sitter in your youth group, if you're a sitter in your home, if you're a sitter in school, then you're the kind of young person who probably takes things for granted. You just sit around and expect people to do stuff for you. We live in a world of people who expect the bailout. What are you going to do for me now? And so we find a generation of people in our churches, Pastor, who just sit and say, okay, do something for me. I'm not going to do it myself. I'm not going to make the effort to get up and even walk. And don't expect me to run. I'm going to spend my life sitting. And you know what? You end up, as Psalm 1 says, in the seat of the scornful. You can't satisfy them. The people in your church as pastors are those are the people that complain and whine and cause the problems are sitting. The workers don't have time to complain.
That's right.
But the sitters do. Now, I don't know how it is in your youth group. I've got them. Boy, I've got kids. I could plan an activity. We're going to have a pie tasting activity. I got kids that won't come. They just won't come. That's no fun. We're just going to sit around and eat. Well, praise God. They ain't much better in life. Amen, girls? And, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, we want to, you know, some kids you couldn't, you know, if I said we're having an activity and I'm giving away $50 bills, they're not coming. I don't believe it. Well, they'd probably be right in saying that, but you know, you can't satisfy them. You can't please them. They're finding fault in the youth group. I don't like the youth choir. I don't like the youth pastor. And sometimes they have a right to say that. In my youth group, they do anyway. You know, I don't like it. I don't like it. The little babies, they're sitting and they're doing nothing. And you know what? You don't grow that way.
That's right.
You're going to be sitters when you're 60 years old. You're going to get old someday. You're going to sit in the church if you're still going. And you're going to be the one that says, I don't like what the choir sang this morning. I don't like what she's wearing. Well, her husband probably doesn't either, but leave that alone. You know, let it go. Sitters. And then you've got walkers. Now, I'll take a walker over a sitter. Because a walker is at least doing something, but a walker is somebody that does just enough to get by. Now, preacher, I'll come. I'll sing in the youth choir, but I'm not going to sing loud. I'll go on the activity, but don't expect me to have any fun. It's no fun. I know it's not going to be. I'll go. And thank God you're going, because somewhere, sometime, at some place, God may stick something in your rear end that may actually get you to be a runner, and somebody may say something that motivates you, but until then, you're just a walker. And we thank God for you. But you do. You know, you're the kind of kid in school that makes C's when you could make B's and A's. You're the kind of kid in the youth group that you come to activities, but you're just on the fringe. Boy, I got a lot of these in my youth group. A lot of those, you know, you can count on them to be there, but you can't count on them to do anything. They're not going to. I have a program that we do. It's called Teens in Action, that we have so many weeks that we meet, and if you got to earn points and all this, and if you get through it all and you win, then you qualify for the right to go on a trip. I found out if you make kids work for it, you weed out the problems usually, because they're not going to work for it. The walkers, or rather the sitters, they're not going to put the effort in. The walkers will start, but they won't finish. Every year, it's like this. We'll start that program. I'll make 80 notebooks. I'll make the notebooks with their devotions and what's required of them. And here's your Bible reading. And here's your sermon notes. And here's your memory verses. And here are your score sheets. And I'll make them. It costs some money. It takes me some time. And I'll hand out inevitably 80 to 85 notebooks. At the end of the year, I got 30 kids that are still with it. You know why? They're walkers. You know, Brother Tim, it's not that. I even give discounts to youth conference. You can almost come to camp free if you just do the program. They're not sinners. Thank God they got a notebook. They may never look at it more than three times, but they got one. And I love it when we start the program and kids are sitting there. I use fluorescent paper so you can see it a mile away. And they'll have these big notebooks and the preacher get up and those things will fly open and they got lavender paper. I love it. Lime green, almost, well, you know, careful of people that wear lime green. But you know what? After about 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, the effort's not there. Oh, they started. I'll talk more about that in a little bit after a while this afternoon about things that hinder. why you get out of the race, but they're walkers. Well, then thank God there's some runners. And that's what we want. We want you to run. The Bible says in that verse that you can run and not be weary. I hadn't got to that place yet, but it still wears me out. I had a friend of mine I went to high school with who was really into running. I mean, this guy, you know, he's one of these thin guys. He said, Brother Tim, or I think he called me Tim, or I think he called me Hicks, actually. Hicks, that's what he called me in school. He said, Hicks, I'm telling you, when you get to running, you can actually get to the place where you have a high when you run. I never got there. I never got there. I did it, brother. It was labor and sweat, and I dread this, and I don't want to go, but here we go anyway. And let's talk for a little bit about being a runner. Now, I dare say I have no one in mind. I know very few of you and just a few faces, but I promise you, and youth pastors, you've already got your mind on those that are here that may be sitters. I doubt if the sitters are even here. They're probably at home watching cartoons. You know, they're probably not up yet. You know, let's be honest. And my daughter's probably not up yet, by the way. But she did get in at 2 o'clock from a senior trip last night. But walkers are here. And youth pastor, you know who they are. You know who they are. You could look. Don't look at them right now. Don't do that. Don't point them out. But they're here. And you know, I believe there's some runners here. And I want to talk about the runners, and I want to challenge you, dare to run. I dare you. Now, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, if somebody dared me, it's done. And when I was a kid, this saying, I double dog dare you. Brother, if they did that, get out of my way. I had a cousin one time, and this cousin of mine, he was 4 years older than me. I didn't have a brother, so he was like my big brother. I worshiped this guy. His name was Keith. Everything Keith did, I tried to be just like. When I started wearing glasses, I got glasses just like Keith's. I tried to walk like Keith. I thought Keith was the coolest thing on two legs. And so one day I was at his house, and I said, Keith, watch this. I'm going to throw a rock between these two cars that are coming. He said, I dare you. Oh, that's like saying sick him to a dog. I dare you. Well, I've got to do it now if I hit the car or not. And I ain't going to tell you what happened. But you can probably figure it out. Almost made it. Bumper of one, windshield of the other. You know, so it really, I got both of them, really. But that was another story. But he dared me. And when he dared me, I thought, well, I've got to do it now. So I dare you, be a runner. Decide you're going to be better than the best. We got enough average teenagers in our youth group. We got enough mediocre kids made in the mold of the world. Trying to dabble in both. The Bible has a lot to say about people that ran. I was thinking about the prodigal son. The Bible says the father ran to meet the son. Rebecca ran to get water for the servant of Abraham. As she found out later, he was looking for a bride for Isaac. David, I love this one, ran to meet Goliath. You ever notice that? Those guys are about, they're talking trash to each other, and David takes off running toward him. I'll take it off running the other way. But David took off for him. Elisha, the Bible says, ran after Elijah. A lot in the Bible about running, and here our text, you can run and not be weary. If you wait on the Lord, you can mount up with wings as eagle. So run, man, let's run. Five things about running, I'm through, because I'm hungry. Five things about running. Here's the application. You got your pen out? What three types of people again? What are they? First of all, there are the? Everybody, there are the? And secondly, there are the? And what do we want to dare to be? We want to be a runner. Here's five things. First of all, running keeps you warm. Doesn't it, Mr. Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Living keeps you warm. That's the sweatiest man I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was just at camp when it was 85 degrees, you'd sweat. They've got him a diaper and a towel up here to keep the sweat off of him.
Two towels.
It's amazing. He told me, he said, man, I said, I get out of the shower sweating. Right. Well, take cold showers or something. But running keeps you warm. Now, walking the other day, I really didn't break a sweat, which tells me I probably didn't go hard enough, which means I need to do what? Quit walking and go back to running and just suffer and hurt. But running gets you warm. Standing under these lights gets you warm too. But running, you how many have ever run? I mean a distance. I don't mean from here to the refrigerator. I mean you've actually done some run. You know, you get a little warm. And I've done it. I've got a treadmill. It's outdated and now it's used to hang clothes on, but I've got one. And I know I'd get on that thing and get to going, and you know, here you are. You're doing pretty good. And next thing you know, you feel. I sweat a lot too, to be honest with you. Not like the horse here, but I would run with a Green Bay Packer bandana around my head. All right? And you got any Packer fans? Anybody else right with God? Okay, one. Good. That's the only runner in the building right there. And because I'd get hot. But you know what? I'm not talking about physical heat. I'm talking about a warm heart for God. My friend, if you're running with God in your devotions every day, if you're running with God and making sure you're seated in God's house every time the doors are open, and you're involved in having a testimony and having standards in your life and trying to be a witness for Jesus, then your heart is going to stay warm. And if your heart is warm, you're going to be open to the things of God. And when God speaks, you'll be like little Samuel, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." Only if you're running. You see, walkers, I think God speaks, but they don't hear. Their heart's not in the right frequency. Sitters, man, they don't have a clue what's going on. They're the kind of kids that come into youth group, you don't know if they're saved or not. And you dare not say, ask them, because they'll get offended and go home and tell mama. But the runners are those that have a warm heart, because running keeps you warm. Number two, running keeps you happy. You know why it keeps you happy? Let me say this about running. I said a while ago, Brother Crichton, I've never gotten to that high where it's just, oh, this is a euphoric feeling. Brother, it's labor for me. But I have never finished running a session, whatever it is, 3 miles, 20 miles, whatever it is I run. I've never finished running, don't miss this, well, I didn't get through and I was glad I did it. I was happy that I got, I was happy I lived through it. But I was glad I did what I should do. I remember years ago when I first got diabetes and I got really, really motivated to keep my body in better shape. I told you I weighed 260. I lost 50 pounds in 2 months. I went back to that doctor. And the doctor did all the same tests again. He looked at me, he said, "Mr. Hicks," he said, "what you've done is rather amazing. Every level I had, blood sugar level, blood pressure, heart, my heart rate dropped over 20 beats a minute. Just losing 50 pounds. I don't know if there's a certain number of heartbeats that you've got, but I figure I got more than I used to have. Because of that. I mean, my triglycerides were right. All this cholesterol was right." He said, looked at me, he said, I never forgot this. He said, "You took me serious, didn't you?" He told me to go out and lose 35 pounds. And I lost 50. I said, "Well, doc, didn't you mean it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But the sad thing is, few people ever take me serious. And they die early deaths." You know what? I don't like to run. I still don't like to run. But I never get through doing it. Well, I'm not glad I did. And you know what? I promise you, when you live a life and you're running for the Lord, all those things we've mentioned, and you're doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Brother Clarence has a saying, taking the high road. You take the high road in what you're supposed to do because it's the right thing to do. I promise you, you're going to live a happy life. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to get to the end of this race someday. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, "Thank God I listened to somebody and I got to run it." Amen. It keeps you warm. Yes. It keeps you happy. Thirdly, and I talked about this, it won't give you time to criticize. You don't have time. They tell me that you know you're running at the right pace if you can talk to someone as you're running. If you're running too hard and you're trying to survive, you're going too hard. You need to stop and walk a little. Now, I never got to the place where I could have a casual conversation on while I was running. I was thinking more, breathe. Breathe. I love music. And I would run with music. You know, Led Zeppelin and That's another life. And I would run with something. You know, I can't run to Amazing Grace. I like that song. I like that first song you say. You know, you can get a beat on that. And you got. I always had to have the downbeat on my left foot. Learned that in marching. And I'm running along, and I'm having to skip to get to the left foot on the right beat. I'm, you know, and it's awful. I'm just that way. I can't help it. And so I'm running along. You know, what a mighty God we serve. You know, I'm going along here, and you know what? I'm out of breath. And you're happy, you're warm. When I'm running and singing and I'm involved and I'm thinking about, I don't have time to fuss at the preacher. I don't have time to criticize. I don't have time to find fault with a youth pastor. Hey, look, we're all human. You're going to find fault. We're not perfect. We just look it. And I don't care how, you know, great you think someone is, hang around them long enough, they're still human. And the best man is just a man at his best. But when I'm running, I can't find fault with a preacher. I can't find fault with a youth pastor. I can't even find fault with mom and dad if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, I found out that this thing of relationship with mom and dad and relationship with the Lord kind of go hand in hand. Duh. And if I'm right with God, I have an easier chance of being right with mom and dad. And if I'm out of fellowship with God, it's going to be miserable at home, because the authority that God puts over mom and dad is the authority that God puts over me, and I've got to have the two connected or I've got a problem. I've got to keep running. I don't have time to criticize. Number four. I like this one. Running will take you over the valleys of life. I said, I don't understand that. Well, you don't look too smart. Let me explain. It's called momentum. The track up there, I was walking with my wife the other day. I think it's the first time, we've ever walked together. We've been married 24 years. And I think it's the first time I finally got her to go. And we're walking. I said, now, honey, this is uphill right here. Let's get going pretty good before we get there. It's a little incline, you can tell. And see, if you get going a little bit before you get to it, when you get to it, the momentum built up will get you right over it without even having to do any extra. I live on a little farm road, and I don't run on that because they put gravel on it. I don't like to run on gravel. But when it was just dirt, I would run. It was 0.3 miles from one end to the other, connected two roads. One way was uphill, and boy, it was uphill. The other way was downhill. Guess which one I like to run the most? But I learned that if I'll get my momentum going downhill, when I hit those uphill parts, it's a whole lot easier. You're going to hit some hills in your life. You're going to have some problems. I was talking to Aaron about his dad dying. And Brother Billy about Brother Clark. Those are hills. And sometimes, brother, you think you're going up a hill that God puts in front of you and everything works together for good and God has a purpose. We just had one of the dearest ladies in our church, good night, just got word that her mother had committed suicide. You talk about, what do you tell somebody like that? You know, but I told her, I said, Casey, I said, let me say this. I said, I don't know how yet, but God's going to get glory from this and you're going to make it. Just keep running. It's no time to stop when you're going uphill. Or you may slow down for a while. Hey, there have been a lot of times I go uphill running and I end up going up the hill walking, but you got to keep moving. It's when you stop and sit that progress stops and you get in a mess. The Christian life, and that's it. Next thing you know, we're talking about a sermon illustration. Well, I remember when she used to be faithful and he used to be at everything we did, and now he's out and she's out, and there we go. It gets you over the humps of life if you're running. The momentum from a conference, the momentum from a camp, the momentum from a Bible school or from a revival will carry you right over some of the hills that's going to come in your life. And they are coming. They're coming, I promise you. So get to running. Get your momentum going. And then last of all, running will keep you from temptation. You're too busy. I'm not tempted when I'm running to look at something on TV I shouldn't look at because I'm running, I'm doing something. I'm not going to get diverted and look at something I shouldn't look at because I'm focused. I must focus to run. It's not just something that, you know, some people, we have a cross-country team at our school. And I got a guy. His name is Ben. Ben must be a sophomore. Let me describe Ben to you. Ben has legs that come up to here on him. Okay, you know the guy. He has a head, a shoulder, armpit, and his legs. And that's Ben. You know, he wears his... You know, anyway. He's a nerd. I'm trying to tell you that's what he looks like. He's a nerd. Ben can run from now till this time tomorrow and never stop. It's amazing. You may have met him at camp before. I don't know. Ben was on our JV soccer team this year. We started the cross-country team after that, so it'll be going full bore next year. And I'm begging Ben to run cross-country. I finally said, look, Ben, you're no good in soccer. Ben, you can star at cross-country. I said, you'll be the greatest cross-country runner we've ever had. We never had one yet. But I said, I don't know if he caught that one or not. Ben would finish a soccer game. Back at Gospel Light, we'll play a JV soccer game. Then the varsity soccer game comes right after that. And Ben was on the JV team. He didn't play varsity. The soccer game is over. My daughters played volleyball. I'd go down after the volleyball game's over, which means I'd get to the varsity soccer game usually about halftime. The JV soccer game's been over for 50 minutes. You know what Ben's doing? They're playing soccer on the field. The fans are sitting here. They're watching. Ben's running laps around the field. Why? I just like it. Duh. I'm going to tell you. I don't know what would tempt Ben. I mean, he's a guy. I could probably imagine some things. But I promise you, when he's busy doing that, he's not worried about alcohol or pornography or being on the internet when he shouldn't be. You know why? He's too busy. And the problem, and I'll get to this again a little more this afternoon, the problem some of us have, we're not doing anything. We're sitting. Whether it's in front of a television, in front of the computer screen, in front of the Xbox, we're just sitting through life. You know why a lot of you are having problems with texting on your phone and why you're, you know, I told Aaron today, coming up the road, I said, you know, it's got to be such a problem in our church that, now you got to understand the church, you know, I preach every Sunday in a teen church about 400 teenagers. And bus kids, church kids, you know, some kids, I'm not sure where they're from or what they are. And they're supposed to leave their cell phones at home. The bus captains are supposed to collect them, but it's just not going to happen. A phone to a teenager is like a pacifier to a baby. They can't exist without them. In fact, mine's back in the room, and I'm a little nervous, you know, right now. And we'd catch them texting. We'd catch them taking pictures. Guy had this idea. Said, Brother Tim, I know what can fix that. He said, leave it to me. And I'm thinking, oh, no. When a guy says that, an usher, you're a little nervous. Leave it to me. I'll take care of it. I thought, okay, what's he going to do? Stand at the back and search everybody that comes in? Next Sunday, I came in and I had my phone in my pocket. My daughter was in college at West Coast in California. She was bad for calling me when she knew I was in teen church preaching because there's 3 hours difference in time. And a couple times, it rang, and I forgot to turn it off. And so I reached down that particular day to look. I don't have a signal. He went out and bought a jammer. Sits in the middle of teen church, smiles, got in his pocket. You can't get a signal in the building. Took care of that problem. That's not that expensive, y'all think about it. But if you're running, you don't have time to worry about sin. Now, sin's going to be a problem. And temptation's a reality. And you're going to deal with it. But I'm telling you, when you're running for the Lord and you're busy, when you're involved with the youth group, you're involved in church and you're the activities and you're trying to have a testimony and you're working at being a witness for Christ, and you just don't have the time to get involved in the things that are going to pull you down. Now let me ask you a question. I'm through. What are you? Don't answer me. Are you a sitter? You know. You know. Are you a walker? Are you a runner? You know, the truth is, if right now, and I may do this a minute, if I had you bow your heads right now and ask you how many of you are runners, ain't nobody going to raise their hand. You know what? That might be a good sign. If you think you are, you're probably not. Because we all have a lot of room to grow, don't we? But let this little thought, dare to run, get us off of our seat, at least get us walking, and then when we realize the benefits of walking for the Lord, then let's get to running and let the Lord use us. We'll have stronger families. We'll have stronger youth groups. We'll have stronger churches. And God is pleased and gets the glory when we run. They shall run. Let's bow our heads and pray. Man, you listened great today. Thank you for it. I ask you, I'm going to ask you, and I want you to be honest with me.
You know the answer. What are you?
Are you a sitter? Are you a walker? Hey, be honest. Are you really a runner? And you know what? I dare say some of you are. If you're here this afternoon, you say, Brother Tim, I have to admit to you, it may surprise you that I'm even here, but I really think I'm probably just a sitter. I don't really get involved. I'm just here. I'm here because somebody else came. I'm here because mama made me or the youth pastor threatened me, and I'm here, but I really would probably, if I had my choice, I'd be somewhere else. Well, Tim, I'm a sitter. Pray for me. Let me be your friend. Hold your hand up. Let me see it. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. You can put them down. I'm not going to tell on you. I don't even know who people are with. Thank you. Anybody else? Well, Tim, I'm a sitter. Let me ask you this question. How many would say, I'm going to go to the other extreme? How many would say, Brother Tim, by the grace of God, God is my witness. I really think I'd consider myself a runner. I think I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to do my best, and that's my best is all I can do, and it is. Would you pray for me that I'll keep doing that? Brother Tim, I think I'm a runner. Lift your hand and let me see it. God bless you. Thank you. And you know what? I believe you. I really do. Now let me ask you this question. I mean, have to admit, be honest, God's watching. Brother Tim, I'm a walker. I do enough to get by. There's a lot more I could do. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me see it. Thank you for being honest. Put them down. Anybody else, Brother Tim? I didn't raise my hand then. I'm going to admit to you, I'm a walker. I'm not a sitter. I'm here and I want to be here and I enjoy it, but I just hadn't got to that level where I think I'm a runner. Pray for me. Anybody else? Didn't raise my hand then. I'll raise it now. I'm a walker. Lift it up. Thank you. Anybody? Thank you. God bless you. I see you. You can take them down. In a moment, I'm going to have a pianist come. Just play a verse of something, whatever she chooses. And I'm going to give a long invitation. I'm not going to stand here and plead with you and beg you. But if God's spoken to your heart, and there's something He's put His finger on right now in your life, you know exactly what it is that's causing you not to be a runner. Then why don't you come to this altar, just get on your knees and confess it to God and dedicate and purpose in your heart that I'm going to leave this place. When I get back home tonight and tomorrow and the next week and the next week, I'm going to run for Jesus. Hope you'll do that. Father, thank you for the honesty of these young folk and adults. And Lord, just like a thought, majority of us are walkers. A few runners, a few sitters. Majority of us are just kind of lukewarm. We're kind of in the middle. We love you. We're saved. On our way to heaven, we know that. But there's just a little bit more we could do to be where we ought to be. I pray you'd help us dedicate ourselves this afternoon to that very thing. If we could stand together, please. I'm going to finish my prayer in a moment. But before I do, I'm going to give you just a moment while she plays, just about 30 seconds, if you want to come to the altar. Real quick, anybody? And if you don't come, that's okay. I'm not just trying to get people to come. But if God spoke to your heart, there's something specific that you know is causing you to not be a runner. Why don't you come real fast? And we're going to pray together. We're going to finish. We're going to ask God to help us. That's right. Come on, quickly. What is it? Just another verse. Are you a runner? Dare to run. I dare you. You'll enjoy it. You'll be glad you did. You'll get over the hurdles of life. Father, thank you for simple thought today. Nothing profound, nothing we didn't already know. But I pray that you'd help us to apply ourselves to running and do our best to please you for Jesus' sake. In his name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated.